Our present meditation is on Saint Maximilian Kolbe. The Marian spirituality of a martyr. We commonly and correctly address Our Lady as Queen of Martyrs. So she was, even though she personally never died a physical death at the hands of the enemies of her son. As you look at the Marian spirituality of Saint Maximilian, we should remind ourselves that the following of Christ is literally to live a martyr's life. My plan is first to explain what was at the heart of Saint Maximilian's spirituality. And he expressed it in three words: cooperation, intercession, and imitation. We know that Saint Maximilian, as a member of the Franciscan Order, the Conventuals, followed in the footsteps of Saint Francis, who himself had a great devotion to the Mother of God. First we ask ourselves, what did Saint Maximilian mean by these three terms: cooperation, intercession, and imitation? Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces. There is one theme that runs through Saint Maximilian's extensive writing, most of which has not yet been translated into English. But one theme that runs through his writings is that Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces. Why? Because she cooperated. She cooperated with the Divine Son in his redemption of the world. All grace, Maximilian never tired repeating, all grace comes from Jesus through Mary. How did Mary cooperate with the Divine Son? First, by conceiving him in her womb. And the Annunciation tells us many things, but one thing it makes clear, that Our Lady freely, with her free will, dare we say, agreed. We don't want to say consented to becoming the Mother of the Most High. And even the faith she had to exercise, my believing that she would retain her virginity and yet experience her maternity, always behind Our Lady's cooperation with the Divine Son, is the deep faith she had that as she believed from the Old Testament prophets, the Messiah would suffer. And she anticipated, I repeat, both by faith and by trustful confidence, that the same Christ whom she would conceive and give birth to would provide her with the strength she needed. Mary cooperated with the Divine Son in giving him birth at Bethlehem. Whatever you want to call them, the inconveniences, the unexpected problems, the very fact that the Messiah will be born, you make your choice, either in a cave or in a stable, or more likely in a stable cave. During his years with his mother at Nazareth, she cooperated with him. When Maximilian wants to bring out what he wants to bring out is that the role that Mary played in cooperating with Jesus is the role that we, in following her, are also, do I use the word, play in our lives. God became man to redeem the world as man. But, this needs to be underlined, but Christ, dare we say it, needs our cooperation. Everyone in chapel this afternoon, all of us, have the faith only because someone who held the faith before us cooperated with God's providence in making available the faith that we now possess. Mary cooperated with her Divine Son during the 3 years of his public ministry. We know that on at least one occasion, we can safely say, very often, Mary was standing among those listening to Jesus preaching the gospel. Then, during his passion, tradition tells us, Our Lady was near her son on his way of the cross. And the scriptures assure us she stood under the cross on Calvary. Nor is that all. Again, tradition tells us Our Lady lived on earth. We dare not say in a mortal life. We are not sure that Mary ever died. while for 15 years, so tradition goes, Mary remained cooperating with the divine Son and all that we know from the Church's earliest history, many things that became part of our faith could not have been known except that Our Lady shared her own lifetime experience with the apostles. And the cooperation that Saint Maximilian is talking about is Mary's earthly cooperation on earth. And that cooperation is crucial because Mary still had the use of her free will in choosing to collaborate with her Son in the redemption of the world and in the institution, as we may say, of the mystical body of Christ, which Christ died on the cross to establish. Secondly, what? What did Maximilian mean by his devotion to Our Lady as the intercessor? Mary is indeed the mediatrix of all the graces, because she now intercedes for us with Jesus. If, as may be, could even be under the present pontificate, but I know there was a very strong movement and an international society of theologians cooperating in order to have the Vicar of Christ solemnly define Mary as the mediatrix of all graces. But, and again that most important adversative but, Mary is indeed mediatrix, but we have got to cooperate. How do we cooperate? Dare I say it? How can we enable Our Lady to exercise her mediation by our intercession? Those two words belong together. In Maximilian's spirituality, Mary is indeed the divinely chosen mediatrix. But we must have both the faith and the humility of praying to Our Lady, pleading with her to intercede. If, note the conditional phrase, if we invoke her, she will intercede for us. It does not mean Mary does not intercede for those who don't believe in a divine Son. She does. But the measure, the degree of Mary's power as mediatrix depends on the degree of our incessant, shall I call it, pleading with her to intercede. In other words, though we often, and many writers will stop there, Mary is mediatrix of grace because, obviously, she conceived and gave birth to her divine Son, who is the mediator between God and a sinful human race. And over the years of both teaching and counseling Protestants, and in writing also to Catholics, as we've said in an earlier meditation, one thing we Catholics in the United States have got to keep reminding us, we are in a Protestant culture. As I've said so many times, Mary simply is not part of the mindset of those who have come to be called, may God forgive them, the Protestant Reformers. We are living in a, what a safe statement, non-Catholic culture. Have got to keep reminding ourselves, refreshing our faith. Mary is not only mediatrix of all grace, and the universal all is part of our faith. Not only in having conceived and given birth to the Redeemer of the human race. Mary now is the mediatrix. And she is the most powerful mediatrix that we have. As we've said more than once, a person's capacity for interceding with God for grace. A person's capacity for interceding with God is in the exact measure of that person's union with God. Without a second thought, for 2,000 years, believing Catholics have just assumed. You ask people to pray for you, and the holier the person is, the more you expect him or her to be an effective intercessor for your needs. Mary's holiness, therefore, is the foundation of her mediatorial power. But that power, I keep repeating because this is Maximilian, not a pious afterthought. It's not a postscript. This is of the essence of our faith. Interceding with Our Lady is necessary for our salvation. And I repeat, as powerful as she is, even as we're told, for example, by St. Augustine, it was Mary's faith that entitled her to be, dare we say it, invited to become the Mother of God. It is therefore our faith in God becoming man, but he became man only through a woman who gave him his human nature. And what am I saying? No less is Mary now the mediatrix of graces for us by her intercession, as she was when she began to mediate grace by becoming the mother of the Most High. Her faith entitled her, we are told by the church, to becoming Christ's mother. Our faith will enable Mary to exercise her all but, I'm quoting especially Alphonsus Liguori, her all but almighty power. But that power depends on our faith. It is not coincidental, but profoundly providential, that most of the miracles over the 2,000 years of the Church's history have been worked at Marian shrines. Shall I say it? Beginning with the first Marian shrine, Cana of Galilee. Remember? The first miracle that Christ worked was an answer to his mother's, shall we say, suggestion. They continue. The third feature of St. Maximilian's Marian spirituality is the deep understanding that he had, as Maximilian, of Mary being the mediatrix of all graces. But these graces that we are to receive come to us not only by our interceding with Our Lady, but by our imitation of the Mother of Christ. When then we say that Our Lady is the source of grace through her divine Son, we believe we are not only to pray to her, or better, pray through her, but we are to imitate the Mother of Christ. Our next question is how. If we are going to practice our devotion to the Mother of God, Maximilian tells us we should meditate daily on Mary's faith and her great trust in the divinity of her Son. as you reread the statements of our present Holy Father, urging the faithful to pray to Our Lady, the three levels that Maximilian identified with his Marian spirituality are exercised through daily meditation in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, from the first to the 30th day, in one meditation after another. He tells what we call the exercitant, to reflect and to see Mary in everything we meditate on in the life of Christ. We may assume safely that a divine son was never off the mind of Our Lady, that she always, dare we say it, meditated on him. But, and this is Maximilian, no less than we are sure that Mary always had Jesus on her mind. So we should say that Mary was always on the mind of Jesus. In fact, our faith requires that we say that Mary was in the mind of God from all eternity. God not only foresaw, we have to say he foreordained. He determined, he knew from the eons of eternity. And remember, time began when the world was created. Was there a time when there was no time? Sure. Before creation. Time is a measure of change. God existed. The immutable, infinite God from all eternity. Time began the moment God created. Yet, and again this is Maximilian, Mary was on the mind of God from all eternity. And we are going to follow in Our Lady's footsteps, especially in imitating her. She imitated her divine son. Oh, what a lesson. Dare I say it? In Mariology. The deepest gratitude we can show to God is by having him on our minds as he had us on his mind from all eternity. But this God who had us in mind from all eternity You'll see more before this meditation is over. This God not only had us on his mind, he brought us out of nothing, and that's the only word we dare use, out of nothing. And if you're using the phrase out of, is bad theology. From nothing, you get nothing. God had us on his mind. And Mary knew this. She was on the mind of God from all eternity. But the Almighty, as she tells us, has done great things for me. And the greatest thing that he did, having us on his mind, without which nothing else we could receive from God would have any meaning. He brought us into existence. He did something. He put both his thought and especially his love of us into practice. Again, may sound a bit strange, but Maximian recommended that we daily examine our consciences and ask ourselves, how well have I performed my actions as Mary would have perform them in my circumstances. I can tell you, having been reared from infancy by a Franciscan mother, the spirituality of Saint Francis, which reached martyrdom in Maximilian Kolbe. This devotion to Our Lady is founded on faith. Faith that Mary is the Mother of God, and unlike her Son, but like us, Mary had to live by faith. We dare not, though some overeducated writers say it, they are dead wrong. Christ did not have the virtue of faith. He would not have been the Son of God. Mary was a human person, unlike her Son, who was a divine person. Mary had to live by faith. And Maximilian keeps telling us, we are only as holy as our actions are motivated all through the day by faith. He therefore recommends that our daily examination of conscience be a Marian examine. How would Our Lady have reacted or responded in circumstances like the ones that I have, say, performed during the past day? But remember, every authentic examine of conscience never stops with the present. He looks at the past. How well have I done? And always, always, otherwise is not a bona fide examine of conscience. Always anticipates the immediate and near future. How will or would Our Lady act in circumstances that I can anticipate? Luke, by the way, as I'm sure you've heard, is the evangelist of speed. He's got more people running in his gospel than anywhere else in the New Testament. And the Greek of St. Luke, when the angel told her about her kinswoman Elizabeth having conceived in her old age, the angel left, and Mary put whatever things she had to put together, and Luke says, this is good Greek, she ran. Now the shepherds, first one angel, then an army of the heavenly host. Does not even explicitly command the shepherds. Now you shepherds, you go to Bethlehem. Just tell them the Messiah is born. And Luke says, they ran. Like St. Ambrose, charity is always in a hurry. Now, the why. There are especially two virtues. We've touched on this a few minutes ago, now we'll develop. Two virtues in Our Lady that we, by our devotion to Mary, must cultivate. And they are two virtues that are so desperately needed in our culture of death, as the Holy Father keeps calling it. First, faith. Mary had to believe. Mary, unlike her son, did not see. She did not have the beatific vision. Faith in the Incarnation. She really believed, the child she was carrying in her womb was her God. She really believed in the redemption of the human race by God, who assumed, this is so crucial in understanding Maximilian Kolbe. God became man in order that he might have a human free will, everything else in Christ's humanity, finally derives its meaning and sublimity from Christ having a real human free will. How about that free will in Christ? It is not. Otherwise, we would not be having this meditation. It is not the free will of merely choosing to do good and avoid evil. Marry, and every time you see or hear any other version of the angelic salutation, then full of grace, make at least a momentary act of faith in Mary's fullness of grace. And because she was full of grace, she had a free will indeed. But her divine Son could not sin because he was a living God. Mary could not sin. Oh, how many people have challenged me on this. She could not sin because she was full of grace. God not only protected, as I've been teaching over the years, God prevented her from sinning. Mary was, and I never tire repeating this word, Mary was impeccable. Grace both protected and prevented her from ever choosing to use her free will to, well, I guess I'll do God's will. As though she might have said no to the angel of the Annunciation. Books in spirituality, where the bright shining imprimaturs tell us Mary resisted the temptation to say no. But Mary had a free will, and there was a centerpiece to Maximilian's Marian spirituality. It's here. Mary had a free will to choose, not between good and evil, but to choose the better, indeed the best, that she could do as a human being, graced by God. And then I submit is at the heart of true holiness. Holy people use their free will, while they choose the free will, or use the free will to choose, not what they better choose or else. No, they are so deeply animated by the love of Christ. All they need to know is what would Christ want them to do here and now. And this is where there is no true imitation of Christ without the imitation of Mary. Mary saw, you're still on Mary's faith. Mary saw with the eyes of faith in every what we call circumstance of life, always. No matter how pleasant or painful, no matter how expected or unexpected, always the will of God. In other words, Our Lady deeply believed in God's presence and God's presence as man, hear it, the greatest and highest model we have for faith in the real presence is Our Lady. Again, Maximilian, and drawing on the centuries of Franciscan spirituality from St. Francis to St. Maximilian. St. Francis, one of the holiest saints in the Church's calendar, did not consider himself worthy to be ordained a priest. That is why now Francis, the father in God of Maximilian, Francis, in his rule of life, tells his followers, respect, honor the priest as the one except for whom Jesus Christ would not be on earth. Our Lady then believed, this is her faith, that the child she carried, the child she gave birth to, the boy that, well, she clothed, and we must say bathed, and came to know as a man, she believed, he is God. But then, the Church of Tradition gives Our Lady 15 years between her son's ascension and her assumption into heaven. And the early writers tell us, Our Lady had a deep faith in her divine Son's presence on earth in the Holy Eucharist. Again, faith. Faith in seeing her God in the child she gave birth to. Faith in seeing both his divinity and his humanity in the real presence. Now, the second virtue of Our Lady. We said faith and hope. Mary had both virtues. Her divine Son had as man only the virtue of charity, as we too please God when we reach our heavenly destiny. We no longer have, we won't need faith and hope. Mary's hope, Maximilian keeps insisting, was in Christ's almighty love to bring greater good out of the great evil which she saw in her lifetime. Ah, what hope this takes. That is why, as I keep telling people, every Saturday from the first century has been called Mary's Day. Another name, Hope Day. Mary was confident, though, as again the commentators tell us, Our Lady was spattered by her son's blood, the blood she gave him. She stood, we may be sure, not at a distance, but right under the cross. I cannot imagine Our Lady not embracing the feet of her son as he bled to death. But because she believed, she had hope. How this needs to be emphasized. This is, if only as much hope, only as much trust and confidence as we have faith, no more, no less. And the faith must be in Christ's divinity. And the hope must be based on our faith in Christ's infinite love. Not only did Mary trust, confident, that a divine son would rise from the dead. And again, as one father of the church after another, centuries before Maximilian Kolbe, tells us, Christ kept his mother on earth. 15 years is the traditional length of time, so that Mary could strengthen the hope of those first Christians as, like Mary, watching the first martyr of Christianity, who was the son of Mary. Mary, not for nothing, is not just called, she is the Queen of Martyrs. As one Christian after another, during those 15 years of Our Lady's stay on earth, from Stephen on down, to be a believer in Christ meant to expect to be killed for the faith. We should say that Maximilian Kolbe spent a lifetime preparing for his martyrdom. But notice, as you read the official explanation of how Maximilian Kolbe was first beatified and then canonized, you might say, well, why not? Didn't he die a martyr's death? Well, we better understand what a martyr's death means. as St. Luke, the evangelist of Our Lady. At the beginning of his Acts of the Apostles, Luke quotes our Lord telling his disciples, I'm going to give you strength. And the day of that strengthening was Pentecost Sunday. Our Lady just had to be there. As again, the fathers of the church tell us, there would have been no descent of the Holy Spirit unless Our Lady were there. All part of God's mysterious providence. We speak in theology of two missions from God, two sendings from God. The first sending was the second person of the Holy Trinity. And Mary, shall we say, was there. Mary had to be there. Otherwise, the second person of the Trinity would not have become man. The second great mission from the Holy Trinity was the third person. And the third person descended. And when I recite the rosary, and the third decade of the glorious mysteries. Third decade of the glorious mystery. The Holy Spirit descends on Our Lady and the apostles. Of course, for different reasons. The apostles were to exercise their mission ordained by Christ to proclaim Christ and through the power which they possessed keep Christ on earth in the Holy Eucharist and bring the mercy of Christ to sinners in the sacrament of penance. But Mary was also, she had to be, the recipient of the third person of the Holy Trinity. It was, as the fathers of the church tell us, Mary's presence. And of course, all this was planned. How the third person would descend. Oh, but hear it. Mary, we are saying, describing the Marian spirituality of Saint Maximilian. She is the Queen of Martyrs. It is not only because she lived a martyr's life. She did. But she obtains for those who depend on her the grace we need to follow her in her Son's and Mary's footsteps. Maximilian Kolbe was canonized as a martyr. But in the years, and not too many years, from Nazi Germany to Maximilian's canonization, one generation. As the Holy Father made clear, The world today needs the spirit of Saint Maximilian. The spirit of giving witness to Christ, that's what martyrdom means. Martyrdom means witnessing to Christ under duress. Witnessing to Christ and paying for your witness. But now, the crowning feature of Maximilian's Marian spirituality. To what did Maximilian witness? You say, witness to Christ. But be more precise. What exactly did he witness to? He witnessed to Christ's teaching on who is his true follower. The one who loves others. Here we use the adverb, even. It's assumed, this is Maximilian, it's assumed that the true follower of Christ witnesses to Christ by loving others and not just even being ready, but expecting to die out of love for Christ, proved by our love for those whom Christ puts into our lives. We all know the circumstances of Maximilian Kolbe's martyrdom. Father of a large family of young children. One of the prisoners tried to escape. Well, the Nazis then decided they were going to kill a certain number of prisoners. His father was chosen, among others. Maximilian was not condemned to death. Do we hear it? He offered to die out of love. There are many things that Maximilian's spirituality can teach us. There is none more important than that Maximilian is a martyr of Christian charity. And in both the canonization process and the canonization homily, Holy Father said, there is nothing which the modern world needs more than to be inspired by the selfless love for others. So far from having such demonic self-love as to kill a person because I'm so madly in love with myself, I will, after the example of Jesus and Mary, sacrifice my love for another human being because That's what Christ did. And Mary, in spirit, did the same. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Apostle of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.